Hey guys, can I talk to you, man?
Yeah.
Can I talk to you for a second?
See, now I want to talk to you about something.
I want to talk to you about something. All right, listen up now.
Hey,
listen to me. What I'm about to say stays between you and me. And hear me when I say this. But let me tell you this and don't forget what I say. Let me tell you something. No, no, look at me.
Welcome to the Dad Bod Pod. I'm your host, Jamie Schleicher. With me today, we have our trusty tri-host and unpaid intern, Seth Whispleway. Seth, welcome back to the pod.
Welcome back to the pod, Jamie. Yeah.
I feel like you you took a two-week unpaid vacation. How's that for you?
It was okay. A lot of travel. I did a whirlwind back in Charlottesville. I'm sorry I didn't get to hang out with the guys. I was doing a wedding that... for a childhood friend that I said yes to a year ago before I knew I would have a new job and all sorts of other things. So I was only able to squeeze in a few days and work. Otherwise I would have been seeing my boys from the dad bods. But the wedding was great. A lot of talking at the reception afterwards about how much hair we'd lost or how it had migrated in 25 years. So real dad bod vibes at least.
Yeah, our other co-host, Matt McNichol, told me that you guys almost hung out. So sounds like it was a good trip.
Yeah, just and, like I'm almost always almost trading him Brandon Ayuk, but not really.
Incredible. And then those laughs you hear, we have not one, but two guests. We have first-timer, Trader John, John Robinson. John, welcome to the pod for the first time.
Glad to be here, you know, feeling ready to take on my nemesis again.
Hey, not to ruin this evergreen podcast, but Trader John, how do you feel about the fact that Kirk Cousins just threw a pick six?
Feel great about that. I feel.
Oh, wait, no, it was a.
They called it back.
No, it was a fumble. Actually, he just took the ball out of his hands. Zach, edit this out.
Zach will definitely edit it out because it would be in my favor if he left it in.
Oh yeah. So I mean, typically if we throw it to Zach with the Zach edit this out, that ensures that it stays in. But
yeah, with him
being involved in the matchup, I don't know. Maybe self-interest will prevail here. Interesting test. Our second guest. For the first time in years, so we'll call him a first-time guest, but not first time to the pod. Perennial league winner, owner of several Roombas, Steven Luck. Steven, welcome back to the pod.
What's up, guys? Great to be back. Can't believe I wasn't invited back for years and years, but it's nice to finally get the invite and be back on the pod.
Oh, it's so good to see your face. I like that we're talking about him as the perennial winner.
Yeah.
Out of 9 years of the league, Steven has won the championship twice, not since the 20-teens. But I love that we still talk about him like the 90s Chicago Bulls.
Which is that or is that not the most championships in league history?
That's true. No one else has more than one.
There you go.
So his current team is just standing in solidarity with those past teams of greatness.
Is that true? Because his current team is 1-6.
I mean, do we really? Is it time to talk about his current team?
Let's just start there, Steven. Yeah. We did get some questions from the crowd.
Yeah.
When they found out that you were making your triumphant return to the pod today. They wanted to know, what keeps you going? You know, how do you find this resilience and this ability to endure in the face of hardships? Because a lot of weeks, it doesn't even seem like you're trotting out a team. Like, sure, everybody's in your starting lineup, but you're not cracking 50 points. So what gives you the will to continue the fight?
Yeah, I think that being as dominant as I have been in this league in the past, I just have a lot of confidence in my ability to perform. And I'm just trying to create a new challenge for myself really this year with a come from behind kind of underdog story. So, you know, it's hard for anyone to believe that I'm an underdog unless I really kind of sell that hard. And so halfway through the season, last place, that's where I'm going to start. And we were talking about it before the pod, you know, Seth was making fun of my roster saying I had, you know, there's not really much hope there. And I think it's going to be surprising when we do kind of a end of the season recap and see where things have gone from here. But, yeah, just supreme, you know, self-confidence rooted in no experience or real knowledge of the NFL or anything like that.
I find that supremely inspiring, frankly.
Yeah.
keeping it interesting. I like that. As the unpaid intern, I was looking at Yahoo's stats for our league and like the all-time record for like longest losing streak, longest winning streak, and like longest losing streak is something like 12. I think it was Sean a year or two ago.
Could have been Zach last year. Zach was terrible.
Could have been. His victory might have been in the middle though, because I think Sean started like 4-1 one year and then ended up losing 12 straight. And then the longest winning streak, though, there is precedent. It's double digits. I forget exactly who. I think it was Caleb the year he finished like with 13 wins, but there's precedent. And you know, I think this is a wonderful way to start the episode because we're halfway through the season and a lot can change. Everyone can still make the playoffs. And just because your roster is full of players I wouldn't even keep on my bench in your starting lineup.
Feels like there's a team name there.
Yeah, there's a – we've obviously seen a lot of injuries. You got hit. You've got some bench space if you ever want to drop Nick Chubb. You know, I am also inspired is my point. I'm ready for a scintillating back half of the season. Steven Luck.
When he turns the pumpkin into a chariot.
That's right. Yeah. And at the same time, my question, I don't know if this was going to enter your interview, Jamie, is do we think Steven, though, is going to have more wins or more renames by the end of the season?
Yeah.
How many renames do I have? Three at this point?
I think you're working on three. As your most recent renamer, I'm sort of hoping it sticks for a while, you know? I'm loving seeing Little John, my personal Lord and Savior, as your avatar. Really loving that, so I hope that stays for a while.
Yeah, I'm. I think there's a decent chance, after what I said before, joking aside, that I have more renames than wins this season. I think that's a pretty good chance, but. I just don't know where the points are coming from this year, but that's why I've just got to stay hopeful and positive. That's where the wins come from. Just positive thinking, rejecting Matt's trade offers and just doing my best to field a full team and not forget to put somebody in a spot each week. That's kind of the keys to victory for me. So
you got to be careful because Matt sneaks in the one real trade offer amidst the like 20 false trade offers.
I know.
It's also like how many times, statistically speaking, does an able-bodied person hit accept by accident when they're trying to hit reject? Right? Like, you know, like just the, like how many times does it take for you to accidentally accept something? And then
I think that's
part of the strategy.
You think it's a volume game?
Yeah, I've been worried about that myself, like just kind of scrolling through the offers that I'm going to accidentally hit the check mark. I know Yahoo asks you if you really want to reject it. Like you get that kind of two-factor authentication.
Right.
But yeah, I'm a little worried with all, you know, the info bombardment that I'm going to accidentally send him Ayuk for
Some would wonder maybe if he's the real Russian bot. Just saying.
Yeah, Matt, you scallywag. If this is indeed part of your strategy, when you hit this point in the pod, drop in the group me, you know, just so we all know. Guilty. And I'm not saying this will make my deep investigative sidebar podcast into your potential collusion with your younger brother. I'm not saying this will lessen the intensity of that investigation, but you might buy yourself some goodwill with the rest of the league. So just throw that out there when you get to this point in the pod.
Yeah. I will say that as my teams go, I'm not a big trader. I don't play on the waiver wire much. I'm usually the least active manager. So if it doesn't work out in the draft for me, it's, you know, and I think I actually drafted pretty well this year, but injury bug.
You got to put injury bug pretty hard there.
So I'm not sure I have the skill set to recover from something like that very quickly. I'm not a Matt McNichol that can turn his entire roster over in a week. So takes a lot more deliberation for me. Even when I see a good trade offer, I usually reject it just out of principle. So yeah.
What principle is that? I do the same. I'm just curious. Oh, this is good for me.
This team could help me. Trade could help me reject.
Right. It's called Occam's Rusty Razor.
Right. I'd rather keep losing than accept this trade offer. Ooh.
To be fair, Matt has pulled off a couple trades. And yeah. now that
I was part of one of them.
That's but, right.
Yeah, but mostly with his brother. I mean, if we're being honest here.
Do we have more trades this year than normal? I feel like John has really upped the
quote the unquote. Trade. Yeah, let's get can we get a trade tracker there? Zach, insert a bit on how many trades
this door. This is where we need Caleb's corner because I don't know how
we
to
do
past season's trades, even as the intern, but anecdotally, I think we are well ahead. But at the same time, I think we've also had very few trades in the past compared to what maybe other leagues would do. Like, I feel like the past couple of years, there might have been like two trades the whole season, which seems like way low, given how much I feel like the amount of offers is probably similar. I've completed two trades, which I think is more than I've ever completed in one season.
If you count Justin Tucker, I think I'm at five.
Which might be a single season record if you ignore the scandal and controversy that Steven created
several years ago
with the loner trades.
Yeah.
Did you get like a 10% kicker or something, Steve?
Oh, man.
I think it was like a trade and trade back unspoken deal. Is what it was like. Trade. It was mutually advantageous.
It was a way to like slide through bye weeks.
Okay. Bye week trades. Okay.
Yeah. So it was literally just like, hey, I will trade you Devontae Adams for Jamar Chase, and then next week we trade him back.
That was like the only condition under which I was willing to accept the trade as well. I wanted my original players. I'm just a loyalist, I guess, to the guys I draft. Yeah.
You're a homer.
Yeah. I think Steven did like five of these trades. It was probably only two. I might be doing the same thing with his loner trades that I did with his championships. In my mind, it was like six, but I'm sure it was
but
in reality
I think it
like
created,
two or three.
Maybe I'm wrong about this. I think it created a moment that was as close to ending the league as like any other. Like there was major upheaval about that, right? People were really upset.
I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember who, but it, and I don't think it was just you. I think a couple other people started trying it out, catching on, maybe. But I do believe a couple people are like, fantasy football's like dead to me if we keep doing this. And so that's why I like put it up there. And funny enough, someone who was not around there and then a league member was kind of scrambling a few days ago, and Thursday night. It was like 15 minutes before Thursday night kickoff, and essentially asked if we could do like a loner thing. But didn't call it that, didn't know. And I said, that's pretty verboten. And he was like, What does that word mean? And I said, exactly, don't talk about it.
Nice.
Well, Steven, I mean, if your team has syphilis, there's a treatment for that. Just watch out that you don't let it go so far your nose falls off.
Or my scrotum.
Or your scrotum. You really wouldn't. Really wouldn't want your scrotum to fall off.
Yeah. I don't know which happens first, the scrotum or the nose. I should as the son of an ID doc, but either way, yeah.
That's a callback to last week when Michael Binns went on the record as saying he didn't think Darren Waller or chlamydia were that bad. So I was in the group me stating I will trade Darren Waller to anybody in the league aside from my nemesis, Seth Wispelway. Seth not only pays the nemesis tax, but then he goes above and beyond and pays my outspoken Darren Waller tax, gets him on his team. Lo and behold, Darren Waller blows up, maybe increased his stock more this week than any other week this season. But what do you guys think about, one, a Darren Waller trade actually happening? And why didn't either of you guys get in here before I had to trade him to my nemesis and basically book Seth's place in the playoffs?
Real quick, I want to hear what John and Steven have to say, but does this mean ergo ipso facto that chlamydia is in fact not that bad?
According to Michael Binns.
And on the nemesis tax, were you thinking you fleeced me? Is that what I'm hearing? Because
I think it was a mutually beneficial trade, but yeah. Like if somebody offered me just DJ Moore for Darren Waller straight up, do I probably take that trade? Probably. But you threw in Justin Fields and, you know, a lottery ticket and Elijah Mitchell. So, yeah. And I mean, I threw you a second league winner back in JSN who also kind of blew up this week.
Touchdown, right?
Might have overpaid. I mean, I know the stock is high on DJ and Justin Fields when he comes back, but I think I was also biased. Like, you know, I wanted Waller and JSN in the draft, and
guys, my computer is dying. I got to get the cord real quick.
All right, Steven and John.
Wow. You can tell we got a first timer here. Rookie move.
Steven, why didn't you get
that? I didn't know he was available. I'm not sure I have anything on my team that I could trade to get him. So
I almost sent you an offer for injured Debo Samuel, because I know that on principle you will reject a good and beneficial trade just on principle. So I was like, okay, maybe Darren Waller, who is a startable player for an injured player, might be enough to get you to go against principle and trade a player you draft.
Yeah, I might have done that if you'd offered it. I'm feeling more desperate than I have in years past, for sure. Just in an I'm not used to the position I'm in. That's what I'll say. So.
Yeah. Strange territory for sure. And I was in a similar boat when I accidentally went 0 RB in our first year of the auction draft, and also had some bad injury luck. And all of a sudden you're staring at 0-4, 0-5. You're like, I need to do something. And the moves I made that year, I traded for Saquon Barkley once again with Seth. And that move did not pay off for me. I think I ended like two and 14.
Yeah, the next week he like tore his ACL after I traded.
That's the Giants for you.
I've got my finger on the pulse.
Which, Steven, we've spent the first 20 minutes of this pod mostly trashing your team, is how I would gauge how we've spent most of our time here. But John's team, only one win ahead of you.
Really, barely
in the win-loss column. Aside from
I will say one of those wins is against
the head-to-head.
So
you did.
That counts for something.
And Sean Greer, who has not been on the pod yet and is not here tonight, so he can't defend himself, also at 1-5. Do you feel like Sean and John are kind of skating through with not enough criticism? Are you the Dallas Cowboys for the Dad
Bod? Looking
at
the numbers now, depending on how tonight goes for Sean, I'm not going to be in last place come tomorrow. I believe I'll be in 11th place. So there's that. So I'm already making my comeback. Yeah, exactly.
11 out of 12 ain't
bad. You know, a win without winning. Also, it appears that I'm not going to be renamed this week. So, also looking up on that front, but I do have to say, we were talking about this before we got on the pod, but, I haven't really felt like I've had a nemesis in the league until this year. And I really pretty much like everybody in the league, get along with everybody in the league, respect their play, their style. And then John joined the league this year. And I really have
that checks out.
You can see how my team's performing, I've got to step up my game. But I will just say that I'm not very happy about John being in the league this year, and I wish small just inconveniences would come his way throughout the day. Yeah, upon his life. How Ben said it, but that whatever that was, that's what I wish upon you, John. Yeah.
Yeah.
Small. Yes. Small. So,
you heard it here first, folks, a new rivalry. And I think last week, Ben's and Matt became a rivalry. We've got a lot going on. John, how do you respond?
I mean, when you think about like me as the son, you know, Steven really is the moon.
I thought you were going to say father.
You know, is just reliant on my... No, you're the dad bod. You're the dad, I'm the bod, okay? No, you're the moon that relies on my light to just really even do anything, you know? So we'll accept your nemesishood. Nemesisery. Wow. Gladly.
Nemesisery.
There's a team name right there.
This will lead to a follow-up question for John, but Seth, last week Michael Binns was asking, as you know, kind of a returner to the league since the genesis of the pod, he was asking if there were any episodes that he should go back and listen to. Seth, do you remember the episode when Sean was on and he had a like one of the best rivalries in league history with Robert Cunningham? He was like praying that Robert's son would become like a Georgia Bulldogs fan or like an LSU fan.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Before there was like the joke about 10-page proposals to change league rules, which is now not a joke. Sean came on the pod with essentially a 10-page screed calling out Robert Cunningham as essentially like the scum of the earth. And I don't even know what the genesis of that rivalry was, but it became, gosh, you'd have to look back at the old group meets, but yeah, it was just, he wanted to bury him below the well.
Yeah. And prayed that his son became like a Georgia Bulldogs fan or something.
Yeah.
Like that. That's my favorite part.
Got the ability to just, he's got dirt on you. He's going to have screenshots of the bad trades you've made and the times you started the wrong. He's got it all.
He's got the receipts.
It was epic in the group meet. And Robert fired some good shots back, as I remember, but it was the kind of rivalry where like the whole league was paying attention, like the 2 weeks a year that they played, just because of the additional fodder it would create. So
appointment viewing for sure. But two questions there. One, Steven, for you, among the minor inconveniences that you wish on John's life, would you ever pray for one of his children to become a diehard fan of his fandom's rivalry?
Yeah, I mean, I could do that. Yeah, I could do. I don't
keep Keep in mind, the most diehard fandom I have is the Washington Wizards. So honestly, you'd be doing my child a favor.
Yeah. I don't even have any animus towards you, and I'm making that prayer for your children. So I think that just makes Steven a good person.
I think the rivalry doesn't extend generation upon generation. I think that's beyond my capability at this point to really wish harm upon his children. But you know.
Well, I mean, it's not harm unless the team you're rooting may become a fan for sucks. Then I guess there's some psychic pain involved there.
You could double down on that, like as a league punishment, like make John one of those signs that he has to put in his yard. Like here in this house, we believe in the Washington Wizards and science.
Love is love, and Wizards are basketball teams that are terrible.
Yeah, your kids are going to get bullied.
Exactly.
That might be a good segue to talk about league punishment. Someone suggested that.
Well, I had one follow-up question for John as well that I've already teased, so I have to follow through on it. But then the question for you is, Michael said he kind of didn't really know like where to jump into the pod and like this part of league culture. So as one of our two newest members to the league, I know you were involved in a pod last year, so like you were aware of its existence, but what was your first introduction to the pod? Have you gone back and listened to all 50 episodes? Did you jump in this season? You know, kind of take that any direction you want.
Sure. So I mean, it has been a scintillating experience to just jump back in. I think I listened to your drafting pod soon before the draft, and maybe the like last two or three of last season, just to get a sense of it. I'm big on culture, you know. I going for rookie of the year. I'm sorry, Jesse. You're kind of out of the running at this point, frankly. But So I mean, I feel like I was involved in the pod because we were eating tacos in Tucson. Something I think you're familiar with, Jamie.
Yeah, tacos in Tucson, big fan.
Tacos in Tucson is a great experience. And Seth said, "Hey, I know you've been advising Eric on his tight end situation. I think you should hop on the pod." Of course, I gave a 3-hour diatribe or 30-second blab, and so here we are. This is my first true. This is my first real podcast appearance, we'll call it.
All I remember about that Man on the Street segment was that you told Eric to get and start Greg Dulcich.
That's my boy.
Greg Dulcich was your league winner pick last year. And
rest in power.
Eric did come on the pod and kind of plant that flag. So how do you feel that was like everybody's first impression of you? Is that like Greg Dulcich league winner, which he has not been to this point?
Listen, he's a league winner in my heart, and that counts for something. No, honestly, my love for my dear sweet child, Greg, comes from his magnificent mustache and his long flowing locks. I said, you should pick up that guy, obviously, because you'll get bonus points for the coolness factor. And it's sort of my, like my love for Jake Bobo, you know, it has nothing to do with the play on the field. It's all about the character of the man in question, you know?
I have a question, follow up, related to something Steven was teeing up, because I think in episode one, that was just you and me, Jamie, this year, I spoke of our universal love and respect for Steven, which is maybe why he universally loves and respects everyone in the league until now.
Except me.
Except for John. One exception.
And how incredible it was that, you know, Steven's 40th birthday was essentially a bunch of like random guys coming over to hang out with his family and stare at their computers. Just incredible. And it reminded me, just if we're going to do a little bit of better know a new guy, last year, I think Brian was the only new guy. And when we interviewed him early on in the season, he had some incredibly prophetic hot takes, but he also said that his nameless wife, when he joined and decided to do this thing, was like, "You're going to do what now? Like, I don't get it. It's pretend, like, and it's numbers on a screen, and it has nothing to do with real life." Jamie, I mean, I might be missing something, but that's how I remember it. And it's just like, I don't get it. So obviously, those of us long time, obviously, Steven's family gets it. That was my point in bringing that up. My family gets it. John, you joined. Did you know fully what you're getting into? Because now on a Monday night, you have kids and a nameless wife. Here you are doing this navel-gazing Ouroboros on a podcast, talking about a podcast about a game that literally has the name Fantasy in it. And you're old enough to grow a beard. For all of those folks who are not our Patreon subscribers, like, I'm just pointing that out. Like, what? How's this played so far? You've been adding humor and wit to the GroupMe, and so here I am talking about the league again. But how's this impacted your personal life is the question.
I think it's injected a great amount of joy, mostly in beating Steven. but also in just I think the GroupMe brings a shared sense of brotherhood and community like our founding fathers hoped for. I couldn't imagine having just the league and no GroupMe to accompany. I will say I was skeptical of downloading an app to talk about another app to go back to the Ouroboros, but you know, it's just felt really scrumptious.
Nice. That was the correct.
Yeah, and for those who haven't been on the pod this season, you can just access it in the browser. So you don't need to download any apps. Jesse ran into a similar situation, so I'm just going to make a note for our unpaid intern to let guests know when they get lined up that you don't have to download anything.
So you don't need an app to talk about the app on which we talk about the other app.
I think right. You kind of do, though, because otherwise it comes through as text and you don't get all my hilarious GIFs and...
No, you're wrong. It's GIFs.
Zach, edit that out.
No. Yeah, edit Seth out.
Hit me out completely.
Yeah, we did get another listener question. So, John, Seth mentioned your mustache for our audio listeners who can't view you right now. But one of our listeners did ask, they think you just have the most incredible style and they wanted you to give some of your sartorial perspective on how you cultivated this style and what your thoughts on fashion are.
Oh, bless. Okay, so first of all, it helps to have a wife who has a great sense of style.
Pro tip.
And then you let them dress you. No.
Kirk Cousins style.
Exactly. I feel like I have been influenced by my wife's great sense of style, my nameless wife's great sense of style. And, you know, I like to think of myself, my style as like if a country professor moved to the south of France, you know, like what would he dress like? And I would dress like that guy.
Wow. I like that.
Did also want to ask a few personal questions, John, get to know you a little bit. So
I told you I was going for rookie of the year here, guys.
Yeah. Sounds like you came directly from a photo shoot. Talk to us more about that.
Yeah. So, the rare occasion that I was not with Mr. Eric Kelly while on a photo shoot, but I was doing a legacy client of mine, doing some family portraits over in Richmond. Ran a little late. Had to eat some dinner. You know, it went well, but it was, you know, it interfered with our original recording time, we'll say.
We're all about delays and just blowing through any time constraints. So once again, Zach has to stay up 90 minutes at midnight to edit these things. Shout out to our executive editor, Zach Robbins. How long have you been shooting with Eric Kelly? Someone that we're hoping to get on the pod again this year, but haven't talked to a lot. So
I know we need to get him more involved here.
Yeah. How long have you been shooting with him, and what are some fun anecdotes you can share about that man?
It's our third wedding season shooting together. So we've done probably somewhere around 45 or 50 weddings together in the last couple of years. Anecdotes. Oh my goodness. I mean, the scariest time was when he almost choked on a what are they called? What's it called when you wrap a hot dog in a pastry?
Pig in a blanket?
Yeah. He almost choked on like a fancy pig in a blanket. And that was kind of terrifying.
Those are scrumptious, but yes, choking hazards.
They are scrumptious.
Sidebar, what is a fancy pig in a blanket?
It was like, I think it was probably like, you know, a Italian sausage or something. So it was a little bit larger, and I think just couldn't quite handle that.
Like, and the corn dog is on the other end of the spectrum?
Right, yeah. Or like the mini, you know, like the mini cocktail hot dog, other end of the spectrum. But yeah, so that was probably the scary one. I mean, you know, we've shared king beds together and had to eat some cold turkey sandwiches in weird back rooms while waiting for, you know, in between moments, big moments to happen. But, you know, we generally have had been pretty blessed with great clients and great weddings, and I think, you know, it helps to have a friend that you can count on traveling along with you, and we watch each other's back pretty well, I think. So I think that's helped a ton.
To me, you haven't really lived until you've eaten a cold turkey sandwich in a king size bed with a colleague.
We've come pretty close to similar. Usually it's like, we'll do anything for food right now, but we're often like in a resort somewhere that there's no restaurants open or anything like that. So we'll find the, you know, Doritos vending machine or whatever.
Yeah. You got to pack your own saddlebags and stuff.
Yeah. You got to pack your own cold turkey sandwiches in your, no, that's actually, usually it's some, you know, caterer made sandwiches 4 or 5 days ago for the vendors, and we get saddled with those saddlebags.
Guys, I hate to jump in and make John's segment about me again, but but I think I've gotten to the root potentially of why I consider him my nemesis, and I didn't really realize this before, but I think it's a vying for Eric's affections. Hearing you talk about Eric so lovingly made hair on the back of my neck stand up, and
that it raised your hackles.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Guess,
does that make me? I mean, not to be a biblioclept, but I think I did kind of steal him a little bit. I didn't steal his draft magazine, but.
Wow.
Might have stolen him, Steve. I'm sorry.
This rivalry went from some brotherly shoving to just straight up tush pushing. All big ups.
See, I think it's more about the fact that Steve is a self admitted non trader and non waiver wirer.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, and it's right in the name there, Stephen. It's I'm Trader John.
Trader John.
We're about
diametrically opposed strategies.
About five trains.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I have a reputation for being the least moves in the league. So that's true. I think that's fair. I don't like your style either. So
yeah, listen.
Or your sense of fashion. Steven does not share that opinion.
I'm gonna have to call John and apologize to him after the pod is over.
We'll just text each other. It's okay.
Exactly.
It's not like you're too much of a scallywag. Oh, we already did that one. Oops. It's like not like you're scum.
And then, since we're just trying to drum up as many rivalries and points of drama in this league, do you see Eric as any type of rival potential within the league context, or do you see him more as a mentor figure, you know, friend that introduced you to the league?
Yeah, I mean, certainly I wouldn't be here without him, but it's looking like if he drops his matchup this week, which I'm trying to see right now. If he's playing Sean. Never mind. Just kidding. if I win against Zach here, which I can't even see the updates because that the app is crapping out on us, but
I can give you a live update. So it's not looking great for you at the moment. You're up by 7, but the live projection has Kirk Cousins and TJ Hockenson coming back and putting Zach at 108, and you're projected to finish at a little bit less than you have right now, so right around 97. So you're up 7. You're up 7, but they believe in the Kirk Hock stack outscoring the San Francisco D,
which is fair. Well, so then that takes away my point. But should I pull out the miracle, then we'd be sort of in more in closer competition. And I still believe in my team. You know, I mean, I think it just seems like I haven't quite put together. Not everyone has put together the best performances on the same week, but. I mean, there's some guys on this roster, you know, and I think it, we can make some noise.
There's potential for sure.
We just need a little, you know, we need a little crack in the door to open for us. So we'll just pray for that. So I think at that point, then the real rivalry could open up. Should Zach beat me, he might have to be my new nemesis.
Oh, all right. So, I mean, we've got a budding rivalry here with Steven, but Zach is a potential as well.
Yep. And, you know, I'll do everything I can to just piss off the commissioner, even though that's a little bit dangerous.
It is a fine line you have to walk.
Steven, you'll always be number one in my heart, though.
Yeah, it's kind of. I'm thinking about the, like, when your rival or nemesis, like, starts talking about someone else being their rival, is that like insult to injury, right? Like, you're not even good enough to be my nemesis. I've got to find a new one. That, like, I think it enhances. It enhances my dislike of you.
I'm stoked about that.
So I appreciate you saying that now.
It's like how the Commanders consider the Cowboys their biggest rival, but the Cowboys would consider the Commanders probably third or fourth on the list. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. We care about the Eagles. That's who we're concerned about.
Yeah, exactly. And the Eagles are probably going to handle you pretty easily this year, so you know.
I mean, that's why they play the games. Eagles lost to the Jets last week, so
they did lose to the Jets.
Then the Bills lost to the Patriots this week. Any given Sunday,
that's right.
I do want to ask you guys. I want to ask you guys about some second half projections. But before that, John, you made a trade with Matt McNichol, who we've also ripped his trade proposals for a long time. You sent him a now healthy Aaron Jones for Kieran Williams, who a couple days after the trade immediately goes to the IR, is out for the next four games. Yep. How are you feeling about that trade in the immediate aftermath?
Well, so I knew he was going to be on the IR. So it was post-injury news.
Yeah,
So I'm feeling pretty good. I still have the handcuff for Jones. So I've got A.J. Dillon, who, granted, on my bench, but put up, you know, something like 11 points or something this week. And Jones is still, I think, kind of working his way back in. So he'll probably get a little more value over the course of the whole season. I'm really hoping that this miracle happens this week. If not, you know, then I'm hoping I work my way back into playoff contention and Williams proved himself a pretty potent weapon earlier in the year. And I think him, Kamara, could really kind of anchor my shaky running back situation, which has kind of held me back. So I'm hoping the Williams Kamara stack kind of settles my backfield, so to speak, my imaginary backfield.
I could see that happening for sure. And then also want to get your guys' opinions on, like, what are some of your hottest takes for the second half of the season? We're like right at the midpoint here. You know, some of us on this pod had a great first half. Others of us looking for a strong second half. What are some of your hot takes for half number two?
So I swear this has nothing to do with me saying that he is now my rival and that I'm hoping I beat him, but I think Zach's gonna struggle down the stretch. I think I could see his team just kind of, you know, dropping down to the middle of the pack where we were all rather afraid of him at the start of the season when he was putting
up. Where do you see the cracks numbers in the armor there? Who do you think falls off from first half performance?
Well, I mean, I'm not one to doubt Tyreek Hill, but he's just been so efficient. Yeah. He can't possibly maintain that. The quarterback situation is shaky. And, you know, I mean, Eckler's back, but hasn't quite been back. So if he's, I suppose if Eckler kind of elevates, then that could steady his team a bit. But just sort of looking at the depth there, and it's, you know, quarterback and then the sort of regression to the mean for Hill, which is still a great player, but maybe not the historically great player that he's been.
Yeah, because he came out of the gates. Zach did, right?
He flew out of the gates, yeah.
And he was scoring like
those big Dolphin games.
Over 150 points a game and a week. Yeah. I mean, I think.
Yeah, I think he's only got one or two games where he hasn't scored more than 20 points. He's been on fire.
For sure. I'm anti-Lions just because I'm so hipster that I needed to be ahead of the inevitable Lions backlash. So the Lions are going to crash.
I mean, might have started that process this week. Very rough game against the Baltimore Ravens.
That was not great. They got whooped.
So are you hoping they fall off but just continue throwing the ball constantly to Amon-Ra?
I'm feels hoping like you have behind by 35 every game.
Okay.
And Jahmyr Gibbs gets injured because I traded him away.
Yep.
Wishing injuries upon grown men.
That's right.
Seems a little low, but not.
Hey, listen,
not
I'm just trying to
for my nemesis.
trying to take the stance that you wouldn't take.
Yeah, exactly. League wise, I think that you're going to see, I think we're going to get Eric on the pod. I believe that can happen.
That is a hot take.
And I'm gonna pressure him into that to make my prediction come true now.
Love that.
Yeah. I
that means I have to pressure him into not doing it, you realize.
Yeah, exactly.
I was gonna say maybe we get him and John to call in from a king bed somewhere on the road. I don't know.
That would be amazing.
That would actually be pretty funny.
Choking on corn dogs or whatever it is you're
picking eating. A blanket.
Yeah, picking a blanket. Yeah, I'd love to see Sean's season improve. I think those of us who are towards the bottom of the barrel could see some improvement. I believe in my team. And I think Sean could improve a little bit. I think John's going to just go winless from here on out and sit on the bottom of the league standings.
That would not win me the Rookie of the Year. Come on.
Well, you could win from personality and, you know.
All right, fair.
Yeah.
Which I thought you hated anyway.
No. Well, yeah, I do.
It's only one vote.
Yeah, fair. I'm only one vote.
Good point.
I can only influence so many people around here.
Yeah, but I've already ticked Zach off enough.
And Jamie, are you winning? You're in first place right now, right?
At the moment.
First.
Yeah.
Are you going to win this week? Check.
Yes. All yeah, right. I will not get the pleasure of renaming you. I think I won by around 30.
Oh, yeah, we're playing each other. That's right.
Yeah,
I just imagine myself playing John every week. That's why.
Yeah. Nameless, faceless opponent,
yeah, exactly.
Named John.
Instead of a Believe poster on his wall, he's just got my face with a big red X through it. That's what keeps him
I just
going.
Wake up every morning and drink my coffee, staring at that.
That's what inspires him.
Yeah, gets me going in the morning. Yeah, I think Jamie's going to continue to roll. That's my prediction. Once you get on a roll, I'm more into the mental game and into the momentum of it than I am into the, you know, X's and O's. I don't think they matter that much. I think if you believe you're going to win, then you got a better chance. And Jamie's playing confident. Team's rolling. And, yeah, I could see him finishing first place in the league. But that, you know, that also doesn't matter that much. I think playoffs are such a fickle, fickle thing that
yeah. The top two teams getting a bye, I think, is the best benefit of finishing one or two. Because that's 1 week where you don't have to worry about the chaos breaking your way. And
that's
the randomness coming back to haunt you. So that's really the benefit, is getting that first round bye and only having to hit all the right things correctly 2 weeks instead of three.
Yeah, but you get to the end of the season and certain players stop, you know, like teams might sit players. Like it gets a little funky. So, but that's
or
my
maybe
prediction.
Certain managers. Yeah, certain
or
managers
might
just, trade
yeah,
players.
Yeah, no punishment for last place in place this season. You know, last place teams might start trading away their best players. You know.
Whoa!
Let me. I'm sending you a Saquon Barkley trade right now.
Yeah.
And I can't even tell you not to trade with your nemesis because I just traded with mine. So
that's right.
I won't fault you if you accept.
You took like three showers after that, right?
Several. still unclean.
That's all right. We still love you.
It never washes off.
That kind of stink never washes off.
Well, those are some fun second half predictions. Hope things turn around for both of you guys. John, we have had a first-time league or a newcomer to the league that might have been a return, they might have not win the championship the past 2 years. Do you think that trend continues this year? with you sitting in 11th and Jesse sitting in.
Hey, I'm at 10th. I'm at 10th.
Oh, sorry. I forgot about Sean again. Yeah, you're sitting in 10th and Jesse is sitting in 7th right now. Do you think one of you two could make it 3 in a row?
I would have felt pretty good about Jesse's team until the Chase trade.
Mm.
He's got a good team, all things considered. I'm not sure that the trend is going to continue. A lot depends on how many interceptions the San Francisco defense gets tonight. As Bins hinted at in the last episode, 2 and 5 is a lot different than 3 and 4.
Yeah. So,
decisions will have to be made if depending on the outcome. Strategies will have to be shifted.
Yeah. There could be more trades from Trader John is what it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. We might have to put the hummus on deep discount, so to speak.
Love it. So I've got two questions I want to hit in 3 minutes so we can get Zach a pod under an hour here. But first one, so like, you know, try to keep these answers short if possible. But especially with the Chase trade, where do you guys stand with McNichol brother collusion and potentially a spinoff podcast?
Oh, it's definitely real. Give me a true crime podcast on that, please. Thank you.
I think people can trade who they want, and I also believe that it's collusion at the same time.
That was a great nemesis take right there.
Yeah. And then second one, we had Bins kind of introduce the keeper concept last week. Curious to get a quick pulse check from you guys on what your thoughts of the keeper, non-keeper league change debate is and any relevant thoughts there.
I think it's a hard thing to imagine when you're like at the bottom of the league, but I will say that it would be something to potentially play for right now. The flip side of that is like, if I could play for some players that I might want to keep, instead of playing for the wins this season, that might keep me more engaged than I would otherwise feel at the moment. So,
yeah, as a fellow person who would be who is less experienced and who's less win-tastic right now, I liked your version, Jamie, where it's like one or two players keeps the ceiling a little more in sight. If you know, that doesn't mean I wouldn't be open eventually to 4 or 5 or however many. I don't even know. Is there a vertical limit? Is there?
No,
could you theoretically keep your whole roster?
Yeah, if you get to a certain point, it's more like a dynasty team. But okay, there's different ways that you can structure it, and hopefully, can get Sean on a pod here in the near future to talk more about the ins and outs of keeper and what he kind of is hoping for with his vision of it.
He's got to submit that 10-pager
first. Didn't Sean convince us to go to auction draft as well? Wasn't it his work to get us there?
I'm not remembering off the top of my head, but I'm happy to give him that retroactive credit now.
That was a great call. I think it's a great call. So his changes are not all bad. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, and I think it's fun to experiment as well. So, like, you know, we could try one year, and if people decide they don't like it, there's no harm in going back to what you were. So if people had hated the auction draft, like, we could very easily have gone back to a snake the following year, but it seems like there's been pretty widespread adoption and the consensus is that was a good move.
Groovy.
Agreed.
I think it was pretty fun.
All right. Anything else you guys want to hit before we let Steven drive off into the sunset and John get to eat some dinner or something?
I think you're forgetting that I'm the sun and he's the moon.
And I did forget that. I don't know how.
How dare you? No, I think I'm good for the evening. Steve-O? I mean, evil Steve-O?
Yeah. No, I appreciate being on. Fun to hang out with you guys. Fun to see Seth for a few minutes. And I will gladly do the pod again when I'm invited back in a few years.
Yeah, we'll get you back sometime in the next half decade, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, appreciate you guys carving out some time on a Monday. John, hope you the best of luck against Zach here in your...
Keep those fingers crossed.
Second half of Monday Night Football. And Steven, excited to see whichever healthy players you have in your starting lineup for the rest of the year help you turn the ship around.
Thank you. Good to see you, man.
And to all our loyal listeners, you can go fall in a well.
Fall in a well.
Falling a while.